conference will begin shortly.
We're sorry for the delay. The organizer has not yet arrived. You will be placed on hold until the organizer arrives. Please remain on the line. Sorry for the delay. The organizer has not yet arrived. You will be placed on hold until the organizer arrives. Please remain on the line. Sorry for the delay. The organizer has not yet arrived. You will be placed on hold until the organizer arrives. Please remain on the line. Sorry for the delay. The organizer has not yet arrived. You will be placed on hold until the organizer arrives. Please remain on the line. Sorry for the delay. The organizer has not yet arrived. You will be placed on hold until the organizer arrives. Please remain on the line. Sorry for the delay. The organizer has not yet arrived. You will be placed on hold until the organizer arrives. Please remain on the line. Sorry for the delay. The organizer has not yet arrived. You will be placed on hold until the organizer arrives. Please remain on the line. sorry for the delay. The organizer has not yet arrived. You will be placed on hold until the organizer arrives. Please remain on the line. Sorry for the delay. The organizer has not yet arrived. You will be placed on hold until the organizer arrives. Please remain on the line. Sorry for the delay. The organizer has not yet arrived. You will be placed on hold until the organizer arrives. Please remain on the line. Sorry for the delay. The organizer has not yet arrived. You will be placed on hold until the organizer arrives. Please remain on the line. Sorry for the delay. The organizer has not yet arrived. You will be placed on hold until the organizer arrives. Please remain on the line. This line is now off hold. You have entered as an attendee in listen-only mode.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome, everyone, as we prepare for Shabbos, Parashas Vayigash. Let me begin with a thought on the Parasha, which is from Rav Schwab in the name of his Rebbe in Tells in Europe. And as you'll see in a moment, it's a machshava which I had heard from Rav Palm in the name of Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. Let me begin. In the end of the previous parasha, Yehuda speaks in a very meek tone to Yosef. He says, he says, what could we answer? We were caught. We're prepared to be slaves. That's how the parasha ends. The end of parasha's Mikates. The beginning of this parasha, two psukim later, Vayigash Yelov Yehuda Vayomer, Biadaini, Yedaber Na'abdecha Dover Bosne Adaini, Vayichar Apacha Bavdecha. Suddenly Yehuda starts to speak in a tougher tone, in a more strict tone, as Rashi says, Mikana Tolamad Shediber Elov Koshais, that he spoke to him in a very stern way. He spoke to him in a very strict way. He was tough, and he spoke in a tough way. It's a very sudden change from one attitude to another attitude. And certainly, there's got to be a reason for it, and not only that, but there's got to be a lesson in the way the Torah portrays this. Now, Schwab brings that the lesson is that actually Yehuda was somewhat afraid. He was somewhat afraid that Binyamin had been caught. And then he remembered that he had guaranteed the return of Binyamin. And because he had guaranteed the return of Binyamin, this gave him the strength, the energy, the courage to be able to do the things that he had to do. The idea is that when a person feels a responsibility, then a person has more energy. If a person feels that something is a job that he's got to do, it's up to him to do it. He feels an achrayus to do it. That gives him the strength, the ability to do things that he otherwise may not have been able to do. And that is the avdecha orav esanar. Yehuda reflected on his responsibility, and with that he got the energy to do that which he had to do. Many years ago, Rav Palm spoke to Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. Rav Nosson Tzvi had asked a certain Talmud to take a job in one of the yeshivas, a job as a mashgiach. Rav Palm held that this Talmud was still young. He was still not bekayach. He still was not ready for that type of an achrayus. Rav Nosson Tzvi called him. Rav Nosson Tzvi told him that with the achrayus come the kaychus. With the responsibility, a person gets the energy, gets the ability, gets the maturity to do the things that he has to do. Rav Palm was very moved by that attitude. And that's something that he repeated, he said over to us, to his Talmidim. An attitude that, mit achrayis kum in de kaychis, with the acceptance of responsibility, with that comes the energy. And the lesson is that every day in Shema, in addition to the first part of Kriya Shema, which is Kabbalas Oyel Malchus Shemayim, the acceptance of the kingdom of God, we also have the second parasha, which is known as Kabbalas Mitzvahs. We accept upon ourselves the mitzvahs of the Torah. That Kabbalas Oyel Mitzvahs is meant to be a feeling of responsibility. An achrayus. We remind ourselves that we have certain responsibilities, things that we have accepted upon ourselves to do. Miti achrayus kum in de kaychis. When a person feels he can't do something, but he then reflects and realizes that it's his tafkid, it's his purpose, it's his job to do, then a person can reach back and get greater energy. I believe Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says a similar vart regarding Moshe Rabbeinu's words when Bnei Yisrael asked for the slav. Bnei Yisrael made an extraordinary request. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Rabbeinu Shalom, Ha'anechi harisi esa'am hazeh, ha'anechi l'titia? Did I carry these children, these people? Were they my children? Did I give birth to them? That you tell me to undertake providing slav for all of them? For Moshe Rabbeinu's expression, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz makes the observation that it, as impossible as it would be to provide suddenly meat for so many people, if indeed if Moshe Rabbeinu had been the parents of these children, if he had felt the achrayus that a parent feels to a child, and if they in turn had seen, looked to Moshe Rabbeinu that way, it would have happened. Because when there's a sense of achrayus, when there's a sense of responsibility, it happens. And that's the lesson of Rav Schwab, really a true lesson for all of us. Busy, we have to hear this, we don't have time for Siddurim. If we feel the responsibility, we feel the achrayus, then we would be able to do it. From a vart of Rav Schwab, I'd like to move on to a vart from Chaim Knievsky, Yibad L'chaim. In presenting his argument, Yehuda refers to Binyamin as a Yelad Zekunim, somebody who's very close to his father, V'nafshai Kishura B'nafshai. And he says, in the last words before Sheini, that the soul of Yaakov Avinu is tied to the soul of Binyamin. The Baal HaTorim writes, V'nafshai Kishura B'nafshai. The word Kishura starts with the letters Kuf Shin. Kuf is Gematria 100, Shin is 300, together 400. If you replace the Kuf and Shin with a Tav, Kishura becomes Torah. B'nafshei Kishura B'nafshei, Kishura is the Gematria of Torah. What is the lesson in that? What are we supposed to learn from that Baal HaTorah? So Chaim Knievsky in Derech Sicha says the following. He says that a real connection of love comes when there's a connection of Torah. When someone teaches and another person learns, and there's a sense of learning and of teaching that which is most important in the Bria, that which is most central to our existence in this world. When there's that type of a relationship, then there's real Ahava. Nafshei Kishura B'Nafshei. Through the Kesher of Torah, Binyamin was the youngest son. He stayed home with his father. And therefore, there was more learning with that son than with other sons. B'Nafshei Kishura B'Nafshei. The extra strength in this Ahava was based on Torah. And we find that as well by Yosef. Because when the Pasuk told us earlier that Yosef was beloved to his father, it said, Ki ben zekunim hulai. And the Targum Unkelus, Unkelus' taich on ben zekunim, is ben chakim hulai. That he is a son of wisdom. What does that mean, a son of wisdom? It means a son who learned his wisdom from his father. Whatever Yaakov had learned, he gave over to Yosef. And therefore, it was a connection based on Torah. A connection based on Torah brings true Ahava. I remember seeing once, I believe, a Reb Tzaddik, who said the following. He said, Reuven, Shimon, Levi gave Yaakov a hard time. At the end of his life, when it came time to give the brachas, Reuven and Shimon and Yaakov, rather, was very tough with Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. He was very, very strict with them. And he gave them brachas that were not clear brachas. It was not clear in the psukim that he was giving them brachas at all. He seemed to be giving them musr. Moshe Rabbeinu also had a difficult time, especially with Shevet Reuven. He had a difficult time with rebelliousness from the Yisraelim. Yet, when Moshe Rabbeinu gave brachas at the end of Zayis HaBracha, he said, Yichi Reuven Va'al Yomais. He gave a bracha to every one of the Shvatim, even the ones that had given him a difficult time. Reb Tzaddik writes, that's the difference between a parent and a Rebbe. A parent sees the Tzad HaMusar of his child, the Tzad that he has to correct, whereas a Rebbe has the Ahava, the love for the child. So that is a difference in the attitudes between father and Rebbe. And that's the idea, Nafshai Kishura B'Nafshai. The close tie comes from the Rebbe-Talmud relationship, from that special relationship. We noticed in Kriya Shema, we say, V'shinantam Levanecha, teach it to your children. The Gemara says, Elu HaTalmidim, that refers to students. Later it says, V'limadetem Oysam Es B'neichem, teach them to your children, and there it refers to children, mamish, to actual biological children. Question. Normally, when you have a pasuk twice, the first pasuk is the simple pshat. And the second time it's repeated, we say, well, why is it repeated a second time? It must be coming to teach us something different. So I would think the first banecha, the first children, should be biological children. And the second one, which would be now extra, should be the one we dashen for talmidim. That's not the way it is. V'shinantam levanecha elo talmidim. It seems that Torah understands that true banim are talmidim. And it's only the second banecha, which is darshaned to refer to actual children. It's a pelatik achidish. The Gemara actually says, Avedis aviv, Avedis rabbi, Avedis rabbi kedemis. The Gemara says that when it comes to giving respect for a father or a rabbi, the rabbi is first. Rabbi mevi'e olam haba. And this idea is the idea of this related to this very special kesher that a Rebbe and a Talmud have to have, but that depends. When you go to a shir, when you learn from somebody, if you're just getting information, that doesn't develop a kesher. But if you have this feeling, this hergish, that the connection is a connection in doing that which is most important in this world, that which brings a person to chayei olam haba, to an eternal life, then there's a kesher, then there's a love. That hergish brings out the ahava, the chiba. And that's something we have to learn to be able to appreciate. So one thought from a Schwab, one thought from Chaim Kanievsky. Let me move on. Kipi hamedaber aleichem. Yosef proved that he was Yosef because he said, my mouth is speaking to you, and Rashi says, I'm speaking in Lashon Kodesh. Last year we discussed this, the idea that Lashon Kodesh is something very unique in the fact that somebody who has a spiritual level can speak Lashon Kodesh well. And it shows spirituality that that he was able to speak in Lashon Kodesh. And this was the idea that I mentioned last year. This year I'd like to add, because I see that there's a Rashbam, a Peledik Rashbam, where Moshe Rabbeinu says at the snare, Ani Haraos Vosoyim, that I am a person who doesn't speak well. The Rashbam says that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke well when he spoke to Klal Yisrael, when he spoke in Lashon Kodesh, when he taught the Torah, he was a marvelous teacher. What was the problem with Kipi Hamadaber Aleichem? Because he was speaking Lashon Mitzri. He was speaking a foreign language, a language that is lacking Kedusha. If anything, in Mitzrayim, it has the Mokam Uznus, Zima. Moshe Rabbeinu found it difficult to speak. He stuttered. He had a hard time getting the words out when he was speaking Lashon Mitzri. When he spoke Lashon HaKodesh, it came in very smoothly. And the Ragged Shavar brings this Rashbam to explain. Bitzeis Yisrael mi Mitzrayim beis Yaakov me'am loyeis. The Jewish people left Egypt. Me'am loyeis. They left a land of a foreign tongue. Why was it a foreign tongue? They were there for 210 years, even though they spoke Lashon Kodesh. But certainly they knew Lashon Mitzri, the Egyptian language, as well. The answer, of course, is it's a foreign tongue, because it's not a tongue of holiness. It's a tongue of Znus and Zima. And therefore, a holy soul found it hard to speak the language. And that's another insight into the Milo of Lashon HaKodesh. I'd like to end with a difficulty that I had, actually two different problems that I had in the parasha. One has to do with two Rashis, and one has to do with two Rambans. Let me start with the two Rashis. This morning I actually got to the end of the parasha in learning Rashi, and in doing so there seem to be two Rashis which are inconsistent, which explain the same word in two different ways. And that's in Perek Mem Zayin, the Perek with which the parasha ends. In Pasuk Yud Beis, Rashi explains the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Lechem Lefi Hatov. Yosef provided food, Lefi Hatov, according to the amount of children. Rashi says, Lefi Hatov, Lefi Hatzorach, V'chol B'nei Beisam. Since Rashi is saying Taf is not only a small child, it's Kol B'nei Beisam, anybody in the house is included in Taf, in child. Fine, no problem with that. However, a dozen Sukkim later, in Pasuk Chav Dalet, it says a very similar Pasuk. Yosef is providing food, L'asher B'vateichem, V'le'echoy L'tapchem, and to feed L'tapchem. Here Rashi says, Bonim Ketanim, small children. Why in one Pasuk does Rashi say Tapchem refer specifically to small children? And in the other one Rashi says, whoever is in the house, whoever is in your home is included. It's Sarachian, it's the same word, Taf. This seems to be a contradiction in Rashi. A contradiction in the Ramban. The Ramban, in the beginning of the parasha, when he brings that Paroi said, I'm sorry, the Ramban, in the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, when Yosef is told to bury his father in Mitzrayim, the Ramban brings the well-known Chazal, that Paroi said, Bimatir Neder, you promised your father you'd bury him in Eretz Yisrael, Bimatir Neder, I want him buried in Egypt. And to that, the response was, if I'm Mater that Neder, I could always be Mater the Neder that I swore not to tell people you don't know Lashon Kodesh. So the Ramban goes with this idea of Chazal that Paroi was not fluent in Lashon Kodesh. Now that seems to be inconsistent with the Ramban in our parasha. On the pasuk I mentioned earlier, Kipi Hamadaber Aleichem, Rashi says that Yosef's sighing was from the fact that he spoke Lashon Kodesh. The Ramban says, Yenenu Raya. He says it's not so. The fact that he spoke Lashon Kodesh is no proof. The land of Canaan is close to the land of Mitzrayim. And people in neighboring countries can speak the language. And he says, V'rabim b'mitzrayim yoydim ha'isay. Many Egyptians knew Lashon Kodesh. But there, the Ramban seems to disagree with Rashi. It says Lashon Kodesh was well known. In Parshas Vayechi, though, he goes with the approach that Pari did not know Lashon Kodesh. And that seems to be an inconsistency, certainly something for you to think about. And with this, my time is up for today's session. I wish everybody an extraordinary, wonderful Shabbos. Kol tov.